Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How you doing today, Matt?
We have Summer League to react to, so I'm
Oh my God, actual basketball?
Yeah, actual basketball. The best kind of basketball.
Dude, I am super excited to talk actual basketball. And I mean, I love evaluating prospects. It's literally what I do for this channel and how it grows and how it's grown throughout the years. But after 6 to 7 months of talking about the same people, it's great to see actual basketball back in the NBA, in an NBA setting. So I'm super excited to talk about it. We're going to get into it and we're going to race through the California Classic and the Utah Summer League. And yes, that's the name of that actual summer league. Very generic.
Yeah,
there's a joke in there somewhere about Utah, but anyway.
Oh no. No, why do you gotta do Utah? No,
I mean, I love Utah. I love the people of Utah. I mean, they don't have donut shops, but you know, it's a cool place.
Yeah, they don't have
great donut country
shops,
so
donut shops and coffee shops, but
right,
we just lost a section of our audience. It's all right.
That's fine. They'll come back when they see Kyle Filipkowski play in Summer League. It'll be fine.
They're like, speak, these guys talk about Bryce Sensabaugh. I'm in.
Dude, Bryce Sensabaugh, let me tell you, dude, not to toot my own horn or pat myself on the back, but did I nail that freaking pick or what? Did you see me post my write-up on that from the 2023 NBA draft?
I actually did not. Did you?
Yeah, I roasted the Brooklyn Nets for taking Isaiah Whitehead over Bryce Sensabaugh. So I had him as underdrafted. I had that he was going to be an outstanding scorer if he got in NBA shape and he learned to play with less dribbles. And boy, is he starting to put it together. He showed that at the end of last season. And in Summer League, he's cooking.
I'm surprised he was in Summer League.
Not me. The reason why is because his big thing is getting in an elite NBA shape and then being able to play with less bounces. And what's the best place to be able to show that is Summer League, because it's very tempting to take a lot of bounces like everybody else, including on the Miami Heat Summer League team.
Yeah, I was just surprised just because, like, I mean, his rookie season was, you know, very rough. He shot less than 40% from the floor, less than 30% right from deep. And he was kind of like that, kind of like a three-level-ish score coming out of Ohio State. But then,
oh yeah,
last year he took like a huge, huge jump in efficiency, opportunity. like all of that, and like that, like obviously scoring has always been his bread and butter, but like kind of diversified like how he was getting his buckets.
Absolutely.
And like I was just surprised that this year he was in summer league. I mean, again, I don't know if it's a situation where like he's only playing these games and then he won't be playing, you know, when they go to Vegas or whatever.
Right.
I can't say I'm in tune with, you know, Jazz media in that sense. I don't know what their plan is for him.
You didn't call Danny Ainge and ask him what he had planned?
No, Danny Ainge just hung up on me. I asked him, I was like, so Danny, what do you think about, and then I just hear, he just hang up on me.
You didn't tell him to run his own effing team?
Yeah, no, I didn't do that.
But I found that write-up if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's real quick. It says the Jazz nabbed a potential top 15 pick at number 28. Bryce Sensabaugh, the 19-year-old 6'6", 235-pound shooting guard / small forward at Ohio State. He has every tool in the bag offensively. The question is, will he be willing to work? He shot 48.2% from the field in college, 40.5% from deep. As a bonus, he shoots 83% from the free throw line. If you're going to take a flyer on Derek Whitehead, Nets, then you should take this guy instead. Yeah. He needs to get an NBA shape. He was very slow feet, but he knows how to use his size and weight against smaller players. He has a nice jump shot, but takes some poor shots at times. He needs to follow through on his jumper a little bit higher, get his legs into his jumper. This is due to his poor conditioning. I would imagine that he doesn't get much lift. He has a nice handle for his size, but lacks the foot speed to capitalize down the lane. He has a quick right-to-left crossover into a jumper from all over the court. He uses the triple threat well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good summary of it. I wasn't a huge Whitehead fan either. And I was someone who was lower on Sensabaugh in the sense that, like, the lack of athleticism was, like,
right. Concern.
Even though he was a really good scorer, and he's always been a good scorer, and like we've seen through these two summer league games, he had 37 last night. I don't remember like what he shot, but
right,
he's cooking dudes in this,
no doubt. No, and but the thing is, what I saw on tape was that he had that kind of a NBA body type, but he had to get in professional shape, and I think that's where the limited athleticism showed up. It wasn't because he wasn't capable of athleticism. He just wasn't in shape to show it off on a night-to-night basis. But there's another guy on the Utah Jazz I want to talk about, and that's Isaiah Collier.
Okay.
That guy has been playing some fantastic basketball from a defensive standpoint and a facilitation standpoint. I mean, he is cooking, guys. He made a full-court bounce pass the other day where he did the thing where he changed the angle by going right towards the sideline and then doing a wrap hook pass three-quarter court right in stride to a dude for a dunk. Like, I was, like, blown away by that passing ability that he showed. And I think he's going to be a player in this league for a very long time. And I think I was wrong on him, not for the fact that I didn't think he could pass. I knew he could pass. I didn't know he was going to lean into that, because there's been a lot of players where I've like, if they just lean into their facilitation, they're going to be a much better player. And he's really leaned into that in Utah. And I love that about his game.
Yeah. And that was something you saw like the last, what, you know, 3 or 4 months last season.
Right.
I don't remember what the final numbers were, but he really assumed that point guard role and ran with it. And the thing Absolutely. That I've been impressed, especially with these first two games, is like his not only his ability to play make, but his ability to create advantages by himself, like with his quickness and whatnot, and then reacting out of that. Like that's something that's like a real weapon. Like if you're even whether you're a small guard or not, if you're able to create advantages without a screen or something like that, and then you're able to, you know, to make good decisions, make good passes, and set up your teammates for success, like that's such a huge asset. Obviously, I think to both yours and my own evaluation at the time, and as what throughout the shot still needs to come. Like he still needs to be like an effective 3-point shooter, or at least like maybe like not even like just an average 3-point shooter, because that's still not there. Obviously, there was glimpses of it here and there this last season, but it wasn't, you know, anything consistent. It wasn't anything to like write home about.
Right.
And so once he figures that out, or once he gets closer to the median of, you know, average 3-point, like 35-ish%, then I think, you know, he becomes even more dynamic. He becomes even more dangerous as an on-ball threat and even as an off-ball threat.
What did you just say?
He become dangerous as an on-ball and off-ball threat.
Speaking of dangerous, Dane Danger for the Miami Heat.
I didn't know where you're going with that. I was like, what? Did I say something wrong? Like,
I just looked up his percentages, and he's shooting 85% from the field in summer league.
Danger. Was it, 7 of 8?
Yeah, he's had 13.6. He made 6 out of his 7 field goals.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 6 of 7. Yeah. Yeah. He only played that one game, but he was good. And he was really good. One of the only reasons why I still had that game on, outside of us being on playback. Shout out.
You know, he had 2 steals that game.
/5RSN.
He had 2 steals that game too.
I'll be honest, I don't remember.
That's crazy. Dude, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I know that's the person on the Miami Heat everybody wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah.
There's this guy, Kaspar Jakachonis. Let's talk about him since I segued into the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. He's not played well, right? Like the whole team hasn't played well. And so it's not just on him. But a lot of it, I went back through the tape, and if you follow me on Twitter under Digital Adele, I did a couple of threads, and there's at least 5 or 6 assists every game that just get smoked by his teammates. Either they miss the pass, they fumble the pass out of bounds, they brick the 3. He's getting people wide open looks, and they're just not converting. And also, a guy like Gardner, people won't know, ignore the name if you don't know, it doesn't matter. He plants himself on a 3-point line and does not move. So in high level basketball, you got to react to the spacing around you. You can't just stay planted in one spot. So like sometimes Jakachonis is making the right read, trying to cut up to the wing. And then like the guy that's supposed to go to the 3-point line at the top of the key, they kind of just stand there and get in each other's way. And that's why the spacing looks so clunky. But tell me what you think about Kaspar Jakachonis and Kalel Ware in his second year.
So Jakachonis, I am with you. I remember saying this during the first game when we were on playback, that like he had at least 5 or 6 potentials, you know, within like, you know, the first half, first 3 quarters, whatever. And they just weren't, like, to your point, something bad would happen. Obviously, I don't think he's been perfect. Like, I don't think he's been great with the on-ball reps that he's had, but it's one of those things where I want him to continue to work through it, and I want them to allow him to do that. And they haven't really allowed him to do that, which has been my biggest gripe. Obviously, it's summer league. I know a couple people on Twitter were talking to me about like, well, okay, he's, you know, they're setting him up for this kind of role because this is the role that he's going to be in an NBA context. And it's just like, you drafted him to be a point guard.
Yeah, he's not an off-ball guard.
Yeah, like he might have more off-ball responsibility as a rookie, but at the same time, you want to – it was mixed in a way that – just I didn't like it. Was in a sense like he was playing off ball too much. I'm okay with a split. Like, I'm not saying he should, you know, have the ball every single possession or whatever the case is. Like, obviously he was capable of being an off ball player at Illinois.
Right.
I expect kind of the same at the NBA level once he becomes more acclimated and comfortable in his environment. But it was one of those things where it's just like, I don't like how they were using him. Not to say that he was great when he did have the ball, because he wasn't. To your point, he was making good reads. Like, I'm not saying he wasn't doing that, but there was just, again, like sometimes, you know, the lack of burst wasn't like he had the burst wasn't there. He wasn't necessarily creating advantages with the ball in his hands. There were a couple of times where, you know, it got poked away from him. And it's just like those things are going to happen. But like, it's obviously something that in the amount of limited, like it was a high ratio for someone who had a limited amount of on ball reps.
Right.
Defensively, I think I've been way more impressed with him. The hustle plays are there.
Absolutely. That's something
that I liked about him.
Yeah.
Is that like even though stuff hasn't been going well for him offensively, the stuff, the little things like, you know, the tip outs on the glass or him defensively, him diving for loose balls, all that stuff, like that stuff I like a lot. I like that he's not getting in his own head about that right on the other end of the floor, despite struggling offensively, which I'm sure he's also pissed about not being as good offensively as he has been through these two games.
Right.
Kalel's different. Kalel, it's been, he's had a few good dunks. He had the poster on Trey Jameson in the Lakers right game, the second one.
Prior to that, though, Jameson parked him under the basket and then got an and one on him right before right that poster.
It's been alarmingly bad.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
How rough Kalel has looked, especially after last year.
Right.
And I don't want to attribute it to the guard play, because the guard play, obviously, with Stevens, who just signed a two-way deal with Sacramento today, which kind of
makes me so sad.
Yeah, it kind of is like a stab in the chest.
And it's Isaiah Stevens, for the audience who doesn't know.
Yes.
6-foot point guard out of Colorado State. Teammate to Neek Clifford. They are reunited in San Francisco.
You just had to throw that in there.
I did. I had to stick the knife in a little bit. But before you continue, hold that thought on Kalel Ware. When we come back on the other side of this, we got to pay some bills. And so our sponsorship, because we're going to be traveling soon, Matt. We're going to be, I'm going to be traveling out west to Las Vegas for the NBA Summer League. And with that, the sponsor of our show here at the Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for today, we're introducing a game changer, Level 8 Cases. If sleek, durable, and thoughtfully designed luggage is your style, then Level 8 delivers like an all-star on game night. They're perfect for traveling to games or wherever your journey takes you. Like a great team, we share a commitment to top-tier performance. Level 8 luggage stands out for its quality and design that you'll love, whether you're on a short getaway or an epic expedition. This partnership isn't just about luggage. It's about taking every journey to the next level, just as we aim to do with every episode. Don't wait. Visit level8cases.com. Use the code LEVEL8HOOP10 for 10% off your next trip companion. That's LEVEL8HOOP10. And in July, there's a special promo code. It's PREAS20. I'm going to put it in the description below. It gives you 20% off site-wide exclusive anniversary promo. July 2nd to July 23rd. Unlimited during that promo period, but it can't be combined with any other offers. That's PREAS20, and I'll put that in the description of the video down below as well. But let's get back to the hoops. I'm not in Vegas yet. Finish your thought about Kalel Ware, Matt.
Yeah, it's been alarmingly bad. Like, I don't want to attribute it to the guard play just because it's like the guard play last year's summer league, specifically with Stevens, was right much better than what we've seen through these, two games. Obviously, to contextualize it a little bit, a lot of these guys are fighting for their careers, their professional Absolutely. Basketball careers. Like, it, these guys want to get their own. And like, I, to a certain extent, I get that. But you've talked about this. I've talked about this a little bit as well, but you also want to have like winning habits. You also want to impact winning in a way. And just because you want to score 20 points in a game doesn't mean you're always, impacting winning. It varies right player by player. And so with Kalel, the little things haven't been done.
No,
the body positioning, I don't think's been good. Mm-mm. The rebounding, I don't think's been that good, or at least it hasn't been, all that impactful.
The overall effort hasn't been good.
Well, I was going to get to that point. Like, the shot selection has been concerning. Like,
right.
Yeah, I get he took the one dribble step back three. If he took that in a game, I'm yanking him. Like, there's no way I'm allowing him to take that shot in an actual basketball game.
Right.
And to me, just, I don't know, like, I know people, I mean, the motor's been such a big concern, and I know a few people have brought up, like, well, maybe he's just trying to avoid an injury. If he's if he's at Summer League and he's trying to avoid an injury, if he's playing, why is he at Summer League? Why Correct. Is he playing at all? Like, that should Correct. Not be, like, we've lost the plot. If, like,
just, 100%.
Like, if he's playing not to get hurt, you don't have to play him at all.
You're there to build winning habits. You're there to build winning habits. And if you're if you're building nothing but bad habits, 100%, I do not want you there. That's exactly right.
Right. And it's just like, it again, like there's been, you know, he's put up some numbers, not nothing crazy, but like the impact, the demeanor. And it's on
the leadership too, because for a second year guy, zero leadership.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It, like, I was afraid of this, and that was why I said last year after his rookie season, I like Khalil. I like Khalil as a player. I like Khalil as a person, an individual. He's a good dude. He's a good player, and he has a lot of raw potential. After his awesome rookie year, I was like, all right, now do it again.
Improve it again.
Like, because the biggest thing for me, and this isn't just a me thing. I mean, you've talked about this as well. Others have as well. The biggest thing for me, at least, was the consistency. And it's not even just like a year by year thing, game, but it's a game by game, quarter by quarter, possession by possession type deal with him. And that was something like, as I talked about, 125, he's going to have to do 125% of the work to get 100% of the credit. Like, that's just how it is with him. When you get, when you have the motor concerns label coming out of college, that's always going to follow you no matter where you go. And so the fact that this is creeping up, it's not even in an NBA game. It's a summer league game. Like, what are we talking about? Like, he should be dominating these games.
He hasn't be dominating. He hasn't faced the center. Well, and he hasn't faced the center that's been to the, has the athleticism, explosiveness, and arm length that he has. He hasn't faced one yet in the summer league.
Right.
And he's looked bang average.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's been very, very, I think underwhelming is the right word.
100%. That's the right word. 100%.
Not saying this is going to be like this forever, but
hopefully not. Hopefully not, but it's not a good sign. It's a red flag. Where's my red flag? I should buy one of those, just a red flag to wave whenever there's a prospect with bad habits. But let's shift gears, kind of like a point guard changing pace on the court. Let's talk about the LA Lakers and Bronny James and Dalton Connect. What have you thought about their summer league debuts? Dalton Connect's in serious jeopardy of bouncing out of the league in a few years. And Bronny James, I've been pleasantly surprised. His defense was going to be what needed to get him a spot. His defense has been fantastic. Finishing at the rim still is bad. But surprisingly, his three-point shot is coming around early in this summer league.
Yeah, he's only played the one game against Miami. 3 of 7 shooting. He finished with 10 points, 2 of 5 from deep. I mean, again, like, we knew it was going to take time.
Right.
And he was going to have to figure out some things specifically offensively on the ball with the shooting, because that was, you know, very inconsistent.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
And at the start of last year, and like, he was. I think he got better throughout the G League season, but like, again, it's just, it was going to take time with him considering how the limited amount of on-ball reps. And so like, the defense, to your point, was his calling card. He was going to have to, you know, be more of a better on-ball creator, a better shot maker, overall shot maker, not just a three-point shot maker. But yeah, he was good in that summer league game, for what it's worth. Dalton Kanect, though, I don't know, like, he's another one where it's just like he's taken 9 threes, hasn't made a single one.
Right.
He's what, 5 of 20 from the floor through 2 summer league games.
Is that good?
It's just it's alarming. Again, it's just kind of alarming how rough he's been.
His shooting's been bad too from deep. Like, he shot some air balls. Like, it's been bad.
Yeah, and when he's not making shots, like, what else?
What can he do for you? Yeah, jinx.
No.
Let me ask you this though, because we got to keep it moving. I don't want to spend too much time on Kanect because we know what he is. He at this point, he doesn't really create off the bounce. He hasn't been able to take advantage of smaller people on the block like he did in college. And his shot isn't translating so far. So I don't want to spend too much on him because we have some more to go. The San Antonio Spurs and the number 2 overall pick, Dylan Harper, did not play. But their other draft pick did. What were your thoughts on Carter Bryant entering the summer league?
He fouled a lot. He kind of looked outmatched to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And
his funky shot mechanic showed up too. I was trying to tell people, a lot of people were trying to tell me how great of a shooter he was. And I like his potential as a shooter more than I like his actual shooting because he does have a very funky release on that shot. And it came back to bite him early in summer league. So he can develop, and I'm sure the Spurs are going to work with him on it, but it's just been tough sledding with him as a rookie. Ryan, our number 1 fan, rolls in here. As you can tell by the crown above his head in the comments section, he said, "Dalton disconnect."
Yeah.
Hashtag it.
Dalton did not connect. He has not connected.
Yeah,
on
Dalton did not connect. That's right. He says, "Hey guys, hope all is well." All is well, Ryan. I really appreciate you, man. Thanks for commenting. Be like Ryan. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. It really helps us out and keep the lights on around here because electricity is expensive. There's really nobody else I want to talk about from the summer league. I mean, Harrison Ingram's an interesting story, but he's not really somebody I care to talk about in the limited amount of time we have here today. Before we move on to Utah, is there anybody else you would like to discuss?
I mean, how much do you want to go in on Cole Swider? No, I'm just kidding.
Please, no.
No. Jameer Nelson Jr. has been fun.
He has. I like him a lot.
I don't know what San Antonio's two-way situation looks like, but I'm assuming he's just competing for one of those jobs.
Probably.
Hello, Larson. I don't want to talk too much heat, even though we did that already. He was good in his only game.
Yeah, he was
unsurprising.
Good. No, and he's super competitive defensively, physical, still fouls a little bit. Let's shift gears to the Utah Summer League. We've talked a little bit about Bryce Sensabaugh, Isaiah Collier. Let's talk now about one of the real deals, and that's VJ Ugcomb.
Mm-hmm.
The speed that guy possesses is different, just different. His athleticism is off the charts, man, and he is competitive as all get out. What were your early impressions of VJ Ugcomb?
He was so good in that first game, even though he only shot. Like, I know people were kind of getting on him about the 3-point shooting. He was only 1 of 3 from the free throw line, again, for what it's worth, in a summer league setting in his only game. But he was so impactful. He was incredible. 28 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, a steal. He shot 50% from the floor.
And only 2 turnovers in summer league is something else.
Yeah, and the thing with him, like, I saw someone bring up this point on Twitter, and I didn't even know this, but, like, he had 3, I think, pull-up jump shot makes from, like, the mid-range.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that was my most impressive. The thing I was most impressed with was the speed, the separation, even against a double team, where he would sprint to a spot of open space, rise up, square his shoulders on balance, and drain a midi.
Yeah, and someone the reason why I bring that up is I didn't even know this, but someone mentioned on Twitter that he didn't take like 3 at all in a single game at Baylor. And it was like, that was kind of crazy. Or it was either he didn't take 3 or he didn't make 3.
I mean,
but
in Baylor's offense,
I didn't even think about that.
Baylor's offense is all threes and
right.
And dunks.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I was super impressed with him. That kid's going to be special. I mean, just outstanding player. A thumb contusion sat him down. Hopefully we see him in Vegas.
Yeah.
Jalen Wells was back for Memphis. I was super happy and excited to see him back. He played really well, showing that he's healthy from deep and defensively, doing all the other things. Didn't finish well, but I don't think he's ever going to be a great finisher. That was one of the issues I had when I watched the game and a half of tape I watched on him in college, because I got to him late in the process that year. He's not a great finisher at the rim. And so he's struggling with that, but I'm not too concerned about that. Everything else, he was doing fantastic.
Do you think he's someone who's got it, like, or he can finish well if he just gets stronger? Or do you think he's kind of capped out on his frame or close to capping out?
That's the thing. His frame doesn't look like it supports mass very well. So, I mean, he's like wiry strong, but I think this is really the best he's going to get. He's in incredible shape. Like, he's in incredible shape. So I don't really think that's going to be an issue, but I just think it's just a limitation to his game that he's always going to have. He can improve at it. He can get like a little bit better at it, but I don't ever think he's going to be like fantastic. Picture like Duncan Robinson, how over.
Okay.
No, seriously. Cause Duncan couldn't finish at all when he came into the league at the rim. And then as his career went on, he actually got better at it. Like, he got really to a point where you had to respect it. I mean, it still wasn't fantastic, but you had to at least respect it. But along those lines, there was another guy in that same draft class for Oklahoma City Thunder, AJ Mitchell. Here's what I think about AJ Mitchell. He has the ability to be a professional scorer, but he's got to lean into the facilitation for others and create for others if he's going to continue to progress in the league. One thing I noticed by watching his summer league games, he dribbles with his head down a lot. And he misses a lot of opportunities because he's dribbling with his head down. I don't know how he's gotten away with that so long at this high of a level, but he's got to fix that. And he's got to fix it in a hurry.
Someone else I want to talk about too, just on that same line. Initial thoughts on Nikola Topic.
Nikola Topic is an elite facilitator. His vision, outstanding. Spatial awareness, outstanding. Solid play. I was just watching that summer league game before we went on, prior to me washing my clothes. That's a little behind the scenes. But anyway, he did a dribble drive left-handed into the paint, drawing two. His man prior, he had told him to go to the corner. Like, they were occupying the same space. He pushed him to the corner before he got the ball. As soon as he got the ball, he never looked again. The double came. That guy drifted off and collapsed on him, and he threw a left-handed hook pass without ever looking. Wide open three to a corner. His vision and facilitation is top-notch. Now I have concerns. He's not in NBA shape. He's definitely not in NBA shape. His three is concerning to me because his hand gets on top of the ball. If you ever listen to Mark Campbell, there's a podcast or a Patreon you should subscribe to. It's called Low Man Help. He is a very, very, very accomplished shooting coach. He talks about kinetic linkage and all that. I know a lot of that stuff, but I never really studied the science behind it. He studied the science behind it. But if you watch, Nikola Topic gets his hand on the ball and he goes like this and he kind of just pushes the ball. It's a low release. And that's why he's so inconsistent with his jump shot. He needs to get his hand more under the ball so you can go up and through the ball.
Yeah.
And that power from your legs will generate from your legs up and through the ball. So I like what he has to offer. Defensively, he's not there yet. A lot of that's because he's not in NBA shape. But the passing and facilitation chops, he can do that all day. All day.
Yeah, and I think he will get in NBA shape. Like, he's coming off of a torn ACL for some of you who may not know that. And so, like, I'm not expecting him to be in NBA shape. And obviously, this is a perfect environment for him to, you know, get those reps in now.
Yeah.
You just He's still 19 or just turned 19, something like that.
Super young guy.
Yep. Yeah. Super, super young. And like, I was just, every time I think about Oklahoma City, I just kind of have to remind myself that Nikola Topic is still there because right. They drafted him and he was hurt.
Yeah.
And so like, he didn't play at all during his rookie season. And obviously for most of the draft cycle, he was a consensus top five guy until obviously the injury creeped up toward the end of his season.
Right.
You know, he falls outside of the top 10. He's just a super intriguing player. I am with you though. Like, I do have concerns about the shooting and the finishing, his ability Absolutely. To generate rim pressure, but, the playmaking is so much fun for him to watch. Like,
it is, dude. It's
so
really
much fun
is.
To watch from him. Like, that's my favorite part. But I just want to hear your initial thoughts.
And I appreciate that. And you're on the right track there. So there's two teams I want to talk about to end today's show. That's the Utah Jazz, because they have so many prospects in there. And then the Philadelphia 76ers. So real quick, Cody Williams, Ace Bailey, and Walter Clayton Jr. Cody Williams looks pretty much exactly as he did last year. I mean, he's finishing better better like 50%, but his 3-point shooting is abysmal. It's abysmal. Like there's many stretches you don't even notice him. Walter Clayton Jr. is pretty much what I thought he'd be so far. He can't really finish at the rim. He's going to be able to knock down some shots for you, but he looks like he's just trying to fit in. Like, he doesn't look like he's playing his normal game. And an Ace Bailey looks like Ace Bailey. He's taking every shot he can find. He's an elite tough shot maker. Sometimes he makes them. Some games he doesn't. First game, terrible. Second game, great.
Yeah, his first game was, what, 3 of 13?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
8 points, something like that.
Rod Wave.
Last night, but.
Rod Wave, welcome in. Thank you for leaving a comment. Don't forget to like and subscribe. He says, not athletic, big issue. These games are for him to learn. Who are you talking about, Rod Wave?
Let I'm guessing know. It's Topic.
I'm guessing it's Cody Williams. I don't know.
It might be both. Yeah, Cody. I don't know. This is kind of my eval when he got drafted was
I was saying, can I get that GM
so
money
time, and I don't know if it's like how much upside is actually there for him right now.
Right.
I don't know if there is a ton.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, yeah, 3 for 12 or excuse me. Yeah. Hold on, am I doing that math right? 33%, whatever it is.
Right.
Not 3 for 12, but you get the gist.
I get the idea. Let me ask you this question, because we're going to shift gears really quick. Rod Wave says he might not play this year. Again, Rod Wave, who are you referring to? You're keeping me in suspense.
It's 3 for 9, not 3 for 12. My math is terrible.
3 for 9.
That was
That's
what he
right.
shot from deep his first two games of Summer League.
Yeah.
50% from the floor, 16 points. But, like, I don't know. I just think just because of his frame, I just have so many concerns about
He's
his actual upside. His perceived upside versus his practical upside. It's just I think there's a bigger difference there than some of us may like to admit. But
yeah, that's very true. Very, very true. Hey, Amir from Team to Beat Heat, welcome. Thanks for dropping by. Be like Amir. Drop a comment. We want to hear from you. Let's shift gears to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, as they say. Jalen Hood-Schifino was a guy, again, I was high on. He injured his back.
Yeah.
Washed out everywhere he went. And he's actually looks really healthy. He looks like he's going to be able to make a push to make a roster. What he does well is get people on his hip, hit that midi, or facilitate out of it.
Yeah.
Now, his handle needs to be tighter still. His jump shot still needs some work from three. But I think if he leans into the facilitation piece, he was very switchable defensively in all his games. I liked what I saw from Jalen Hood-Schifino. And Adam Bonet is fun. Adam Bonet is fun. Dude, he's going to poster so many people this year, and he's going to foul out of so many games. It's going to be great. What are your thoughts on Adeem Bonilla and also Jani Broom? Because he can't jump over a piece of paper, and it's evident in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Bona's a prototypical modern-day rim runner. And I just think that's what he's always going to be. He is a little bit undersized to a certain extent. So is Jani Broom. He especially in these first two games, he's shooting more.
You're talking about Bona?
Broom from deep.
Broom. Yeah, he has to. He can't do anything inside against these guys.
Into it already.
He has to, though, because he's so athletically challenged. He gets out jumped for like rebounds from guards. Like, he's very athletically challenged.
Right. But like he's taken 9 attempts through 2 games. Like, that's not something I expected, nor did I expect him to make it at a 44% clip.
That was the part.
It's 2 games. So,
but that was the part. He was making them at a much higher clip than I expected. I thought he was going to have to lean on his shooting outside because he has no ability to beat these guys down low unless he gets a mouse in the house and he can use his strength and positioning. Other than that, he's not doing anything against Adeem Bona. He didn't do nothing. Not a thing.
You mean in terms of like beating him for a spot?
And he's not going to do that with any of these guys. He's not going to out-rebound any of these guys. He's not going to be able to score on any of these guys. He just doesn't have that ability.
I think he's an equal, as good of a rebounder as Bona is.
No. Mm-mm. He doesn't have the athletic ability. It just isn't there.
He doesn't have the athletic ability, but on the glass, his strength, he's stronger than Bona is. Bona is strong, too. Like, I'm not saying he's not strong.
Bona's really strong. He just fouls people. Like, that's his problem. He just fouls people. Here's the thing about that I've noticed in the first two games with Broom. His rebounds come against guards. And he also loses rebounds to guards. He has a nose for the ball, but whenever you're athletically challenged as he is, it's been a real, real struggle for him.
One of my guards is getting 10 boards a game.
Like, he's averaging 4.5 rebounds per game in 24 minutes. Is he going to be, outside of like a guard going to the rim, is he going to be blocking shots at the next level? I don't think so.
I think so, yeah.
I don't. He can't get off the ground, dude. Bryce Sensabaugh is out rebounding him.
He can't get off the ground, but he has such good coordination with his hands. Like, he has very good hand-eye coordination.
He does.
He does a good job doing it without foul, which I think will help to his advantage at the next level, depending on the
opportunity. Baycott is out rebounding him.
I'm just talking about the shot block. I'm not talking about the rebounding. I'm talking about
the Amir, did you just compare him to Joker? Come on, Amir.
Like, we can't forget how good of a shot blocker Broom was in college. Obviously,
different. I know, but dude, that college stuff does not translate sometimes, man. And whenever you're as athletically challenged as Broom is, I don't know, dude. I really don't.
I think if he gets a
Cam Spencer's out rebounding him.
Again, I'm just talking about the shot block.
All right. I guess. TBD, to be determined, guys. To be determined. I'm out on Jani Broom. I was out on him before the draft.
I mean, to our point earlier about some of these guys, 2 summer league games.
It's 2 summer league games, but
yeah,
I'm standing on my mountain, and you can't stop me. But no, that's all I got for today, Matt. Is there anything else you wanted to tell the people before we get out of here?
No.
All right. Well, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can find me at Digital Adele on every social media, including Instagram, which we're building out. That's digital_Adele, since they don't allow spaces. And for some reason, my name's taken. I don't know why. I don't know who has it. But anyway, it's digital_Adele on Instagram. And then on Twitter, digitaladele, all one word. And you can find me here at Hoops Profile and in playback.tv/5RSN, where I am a contributor along with Matt Hanifin. Where else can they find you, Matt?
At NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at hot.hoops.com, PendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/hoopsprofile.
Awesome, dude. Great stuff. We'll see you next time.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.